Blog Talk Radio. It's time for Talking About You with Estra live on Blog Talk Radio this October 6, 2012. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. I'm Estra, your host. Welcome, and thank you for joining in again for our sixth show. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. We are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. We will be back in Seattle, Washington for our next episode. Today on the broadcast, our topic will be about you and disability counter-surveillance after a car accident. Yes, it's real. After going through the physical and emotional trauma of a collision, your insurance or the other driver's or your employer's insurance, which is actually your employer, has the gall to add intimidation and harassment to the equation. What TF? I can almost guarantee it's the expression by most people who become disabled due to an accident and experience disability surveillance. How do insurance companies and employers get away with this? Is there anyone there to protect the disabled? Who is regulating these companies? Stay with us today and find out. Be a participant in the program. Your experiences mean a lot. Someone just like you is waiting to hear your story on disability surveillance, because sharing information is a helpful way of getting through the situation. Our approach today, and with future topics on Talking About You with Estra, is presented from a consumer's perspective. So when we talk in terms of how car accidents impact your life, we're talking in terms of daily routines, the physical, the emotional, financial issues that arise that you have to deal with, including issues with family and friends. We share car accident information and life experiences that follow from the initial crash to dealing with medical, attorney, insurance, self-insured employer situations. And it's your challenges that tell the story, meaning this show is really about you, and it's interactive, so get ready to participate at a pace that is perfect just for you. Estra knows firsthand your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, Primera, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, Lifewise Insurance Company, and Social Security. So relax, listen, call in and talk, because this is about you and your car accident experiences. What is on your mind today? Let's hear about your injuries, being followed by insurance companies or self-insured employers, and how harassment has impacted your life. Did you seek out help to try to stop it? Who did you go to? And what was their response? Were you able to stop the harassment? How did you even find out you were being followed? Before the collision, were you prepared for an unexpected event such as this? At the scene of a car accident, it's hard to remember the necessary steps to ensure that you gather all the documentation. Sometimes you are so shaken up, it's really easy to forget. Or there may be something going on at the scene that distracts you. That's why keeping a copy of my car accident book in your vehicle can make it easy to remember and get you documenting right from the start. So when you begin getting questions or need answers, you've written the information right there inside your book with plenty of space for writing, yet small enough to carry around with you reducing information retrieval hassle. Author and host Estra is ready to share and hear about your challenges in dealing with insurance companies and self-insured employers. Your claim could be processed through your own insurance, the other drivers, or you could be making individual payments. With a car accident, depending on the severity, you can end up dealing with so many different people that it becomes overwhelming, especially if you're not feeling well through most of this process, which can open you up to be taken advantage of financially, physically, or emotionally. This is why Estra is sharing her wisdom, knowledge, and support with you. So hopefully, if you run into these situations, you will be prepared, allowing for more concentration on personal recovery. Also on today's show, we will share some of the latest information available on disability counter-surveillance. And we will be taking your calls at 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385. Listeners, I know sometimes it's difficult and it takes courage to share personal injury experiences, but it's very important for others to hear your story and can help in the healing process. So, I am offering the first three callers a free copy of my latest book, Car Accident, Personal Injury, Wisdom, Knowledge, and Support, with no shipping costs, along with the first three callers to share their own past or current disability counter-surveillance experiences. So get ready to dial in to 718-766-4385. Someone injured just like you is waiting to hear your story. These six books will personally be signed by Estra, and while the show is running, you can also go to eBay, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble and pick up a copy. Also during the radio show, you can participate in the conversation on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Estra.blogtips. For participation in the survey questions, email your responses to Estra's radio show at Blog Talk Radio. You feel like tweeting? You can tweet me at Estra's radio show. Survey results will be shared at the end of the show. Now, bring your conversations to Estra's radio show on Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back. Are you worried about what's going to happen next? Got those insurance company blues? Don't let a car collision keep you confused. Talking About You with Estra tells it like it is. You'll find wisdom, knowledge, and support now. Isn't it time for us to talk? To get the answers that you need? Every Saturday at 11 a.m. Get rid of those insurance company blues. Now back to Estra's radio show. Thank you for listening and being a part of today's show, because it really is about you. First, our show's listeners shout out goes to Sean Taylor, an absolute superb guitarist. Sean Taylor has a new album out called Love Against Death. His promotion of activism is what caught my eye. Other albums include Walk With Me, Calcutta Grove, Angels, and Corrugation. His song Stand Up and a video with Colm McCarthy is up on Twitter at Estra's Radio Show and Facebook at @Estra.blogtips. You can learn more about Sean Taylor and his album, Love Against Death, at his website of www.SeanTaylorSongs.com. We appreciate all of our listeners, and this is our special way of providing you with a special hello. Personal injury in the news this week includes an article from the Chicago Sun-Times. The article is titled, Feds Investigate Disabled Chicago Cops in Wake of Sun-Times Report. We include the personal injury in the news section for the purpose to emphasize that every single day someone's life has changed due to a car accident. Being able to depend on insurance coverage of all types we've paid premiums on is vital to the survival of many people who are injured and their families. This article is written by Dan Mahopoulos, let's hope I pronounced his name close to being right, Tim Novak, and Chris Fusco are the staff reporters. I personally believe the more shortages we see in pension funds, the more we will see investigations as an attempt to reduce costs. Is this an all-out war on the disabled? I think we'll look back in history and maybe we'll think because of this recession that it is. The article starts as, quote, a federal grand jury has begun looking into payments made to Chicago cops on disability in wake of the Chicago Sun-Times investigation. The grand jury issued a subpoena Monday to Chicago's Police Pension Board, demanding virtually all of its records on disabled police officers, including medical reports dating back to 2006. It's unclear whether the grand jury also is looking into the disability claims of firefighters and also paramedics, were also part of the Sun-Times investigation. Policemen's annuity and benefit fund of Chicago officials would not comment on the subpoena, which gives them until October 23rd to provide to the grand jury records, including injury reports with the officers' names, a description of their injuries, and the names of the doctors who treated them. I'll have to interrupt here for just a quick second. I'll go back, but I need this is important to place in here. Doctors are also coming under a great deal of scrutiny, and I think it's because of the power of the insurance companies. And whenever we allow our doctors to be targeted, then, in my opinion, we risk a lot of our healthcare treatment because it's not going to allow them to treat us in the way that they think is the right way to go. So I just wanted to interject that. I'm going back to the article now. Quote, doctors' reports, including any treatments prescribed, all reports prepared by claims investigators, underwriters, and adjusters, and any other parties employed or retained to process, investigate, subrogate, monitor, and adjudicate duty disability claims. Records regarding each officer's return to work status. Records of any officers who asked for and were refused accommodations to return to restricted work by the City of Chicago Department. A spokesman said that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago had no comments on the grand jury subpoena, which follows a series of reports in the Sun-Times about police and fire disability pay excesses that already had prompted a city hall crackdown and the suspension of a disability payment to one officer. I hope, this is me jumping in here, I hope that doesn't mean he's just become like the person that they're just going to tag things on. You always have to have a fall guy, and let's hope they're not starting to make any. Okay, back to the article, quote, the officer, Charles D. Cycolecki, I know I'm not torturing his name, got a law degree, went to work as a lawyer, and took up big game hunting in Africa after going on disability 2 decades ago, claiming a shoulder injury left him unable to safely fire his weapon and return to work as a cop. The police pension board asked the Cook County State's Attorney's Office to investigate Sadalecki, who has collected more than $715,000 in disability pay. Sekaliki, sorry I'm torturing your name, 57, has since applied for retirement benefits from the cash-strapped police pension fund, which is largely supported by taxpayers. I have to stop here for a minute because I really think that this is really the issue. It's not this, I don't know this, the specifics in this gentleman's case, but if you'll start to look at the overall pattern of what they're doing to a lot of people on disability now, it kind of follows the same MO, right? The issue is about the cash-strapped police pension fund, right? And where did the losses come from the pension fund? Because of Wall Street. And so to me, in my opinion, this is another way that Wall Street is allowing individuals to have to pick up the burdens that they have placed out there for us. So I don't necessarily agree with some of the tactics in which they're going to try to make this money. If they really want to go back and get the money, they need to go to Wall Street and not take on people who don't have necessarily the resources or the knowledge to be able to fight them back. So I'm going to go back. You can tell that's one of my pet peeves. But I'm going back to the article now. Quote, the Sun-Times investigation exposed a police and fire disability system in Chicago that does little to get injured officers and firefighters back to on the job. Few officers on disability leave ever return to work, even though the Chicago Police Department has a limited duty program allowing injured officers who can't return to the streets to come back in other jobs in the department. I have to stop there also for just a moment because this is still from my pet peeve here. A lot of the times, they don't necessarily know the individual circumstances of each one of these people who went out on disability. And you don't know what they're trying to just put people back into whatever they, to me, this is kind of a tactic so that the pension fund can make more of their money or Wall Street. This has nothing to do with actually looking at the person with their disability or looking at the actual unemployment rates for people with disabilities in getting hired into the workforce. It's much higher than the average person, and a lot of people or companies don't want the baggage, quote-unquote, at least in my opinion, of a disabled person working in their company, increasing their insurance rates, and for some, the perception of disabled people not being as productive also plays into this role, in my opinion. So that's why I actually selected this, because it has a lot of pieces that you really need to look for and say, what are they really saying? Is it what they're really asking, or is there something behind that? Okay, I'm going back to the article. Quote, the series of stories published beginning in July documented cases like that of Selecki, in which some of those on leave are collecting disability checks even while working other jobs, including jobs with physical demands such as construction work and bodyguard services. I have to stop quick for 1 second. There may be a very few. I think this is kind of like voting fraud. There might be a few people in there who actually should be evaluated for what they're doing. But I personally, in my opinion, believe that most people who are injured don't like the situation. Most people take pride in what they're able to do, whether they're disabled or not, but most people would definitely prefer their life before disability. Okay, so I want to go on after that. Quote, in all, the 347 offices on disability leave collecting more than $18 million a year, plus millions more in free health care insurance. Now, this is where I kind of now, this is me, not the article. The problem I have is this points out the fact that they're talking about $18 million a year plus millions in health insurance. These people were working and were injured at the time, and so they paid premium in case something like this happened. Now that this has happened, they're trying to make them out to be villains. Disabled people are not the villains. The villains are Wall Street people who spent the money or gambled it away. Now we're in trouble, and now they're looking for ways to make up that money. And they're already collecting. They're already actually making more profits. It's only people with disabilities, Social Security, or elderly people, people that are low income who are really suffering through this process, or people who've lost their homes or lost their jobs. We are not the people that should be subject to this type of harassment, intimidation because of what Wall Street has done. Okay, I'm going back to the article. Quote, few have been shot or stabbed. Most were hurt in car accidents. One of the, and that's the key, most were hurt in car accidents. And that tells you that a lot of people suffer because of our car accidents. That being said, the reason why they have insurance that covers that is in case something happens on the job or off the job. If insurance companies or employers do not want to be responsible for that, maybe we should take the insurance industry out of their hands and put it in something like a single-payer system that supports the people that needs it. As you can tell, I've had a lot of things to say during this article. All right, I'm going to the next paragraph. Quote, one of the offices highlighted in the report never served a single day on the street, going on disability as a result of injury sustained during training at the police academy. Now, is that his fault? See, that's why I'm talking about them blaming the victim, and they seem to really have this down pretty well. Officers injured in line of duty can remain off work on sick leave for 365 days. If they are unable to return to work after a year, they can begin collecting disability payments, a program funded and operated by the police pension fund. Officers can collect disability pay until they reach the police department's mandatory retirement age of 63. They then can begin collecting their pensions, which would be based on the years they spent on the disability rolls. The newspaper also examined the City of Chicago Firefighters Pension Fund, who has 390 employees on disability leave, collecting a total of more of $27 million a year. The fire department has no limit duty program for injured firefighters and paramedics, some of whom get their disability pay even after moving on to other jobs, including one, a fire inspector, and a nurse. I want to stop here for a second because if you are injured and you're hurt and you qualify, there is nothing wrong with collecting what is due. That's why you pay premium. The jobs that these people do are dangerous. So let's stop blaming the victim. If they're hurt, the fund is there, they paid into the fund, the fund should be financially sound, and they should be paid. This is not money that Wall Street needs to have to go out and gamble some more. These people needed to take care of themselves and their families. Okay, I'm going back to the article, quote, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, whose top city hall financial officers are on the police and fire pension boards that oversee disability payments, has proposed a series of reforms to crack down on what he has labeled the abuse and fraud exposed by Sun-Times. I don't know if it's abuse or fraud, or some people feel that people that are disabled because they can't find a job because of our recession, and people who are disabled have some income, that they're getting something. And to me, that is just kind of like a bitterness that we don't need in our society. Disabled people get what they are, they get because they became disabled, not because they wanted to, not because of their own fault. It's something that happened. Are there probably a few people in the system that they're always going to have? You're going to have a few bad apples no matter where you are. But why is everyone being subjected to this behavior when it's a few? If you really want to get rid of all the fraud, start with Wall Street and work your way down. And I bet you'll see how much smaller it is when you get to the lowest people on the totem pole. Okay, I'm going back to the article, and I'll try to finish it up here. Quote, Burke got the subpoena after refusing to turn over the records of Chicago, City of Chicago Inspector General Joseph Ferguson. Burke had said Ferguson had no authority to investigate the city council. Ferguson said that he is trying to investigate a $115 million a year program that provides benefits to injured workers. Right? Why didn't they do such an investigation with Wall Street? Why aren't they going and trying to get Wall Street's money? I'm sorry, that was another moan of mine. I have one more paragraph before the end of the quote. 6 years ago, the Sun-Times reported that one of every five patronage workers on a clout list kept by Mayor Richard M. Daley's patronage chief filed at least $38 million a year. That prompted a federal grand jury to subpoena Burke's records in 2006, but nothing came of that investigation. And I suspect nothing will come of this investigation because it's with disabled people. I think this is a bitterness that's been running through our society since the recession happened, and a lot of people have lost a lot of what they had, and they see disabled people as getting something for free. Disabled people are not getting anything for free. They paid the premiums. They became disabled, and they should be paid, in my opinion. And also, I believe that self-insured employers should not have the right, or employers, now that things are difficult, to find ways to operate in bad faith, to deny benefits to individuals who have been depending on that in case something happens. We need to change the way that we're thinking, in my opinion. I wish Wall Street is where the investigations begin. So I think I picked a great article for this week. It really goes on and really leads back into our conversation. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Are you worried about what's going to happen next? Got those insurance company blues? Don't let a car collision keep you confused. Talking about you with Estra tells it like it is. You'll find wisdom, knowledge, and support now. Isn't it time for us to talk to get the answers that you need? Every Saturday at 11 a.m. Get rid of those insurance company blues. Listeners, if you are under disability surveillance, how many times have you been emotionally violated by harassment, attempts to scare or intimidate you? Call and tell me about your experience at 718-766-4385. Call me at 718-766-4385. In a car accident. Now what? What can I expect? How will I be treated? How can I have a chance of making the best decisions on my behalf? A good place to start is Estra's new book, Car Accident, Personal Injury, Wisdom, Knowledge, and Support. And right now, during the program, receive 30% off with no shipping cost. Go to www.estra.blogspot.com and order it now. Welcome back to Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Personal injury in the news article this week was a great lead into our topic today, which is you and disability counter-surveillance. One's life changes dramatically when you become disabled due to a car accident, and it's very difficult for most people to put their lives back together again. As we learn through this broadcast today, the time for complete or partial recovery takes time. Most people experience major financial woes, and if their claim is substantial, fighting insurance companies or self-insured employers to receive their benefits makes life very difficult for the injured and their families. Most experience years of pain, suffering, and brokenness. Now place on top of this harassment and intimidation by insurance companies or employers who don't want to pay out large claims, which cause many disabled to become overwhelmed, creating additional secondary injuries to an already devastated victim. As in the personal injury article for this week, there are 4 million car accidents every year, which means many disabilities are caused in collision. Most employees pay daily premiums or disability premiums each pay period out of their own paychecks. I would agree with the autoinsurance.org website that insurance companies are part of a large industry, one of the largest and most profitable in the United States. However, I would suggest that these companies are not tightly regulated. In fact, in my opinion, their power has provided them with the privileges of calling the shots through their lobbying efforts in Congress and their large coffers compared to state budgets who actually regulate them. Unless they are their employees' insurance companies, meaning they are self-insured, who are under federal jurisdiction through ERISA, which, in my opinion, means their employees may have a very difficult time obtaining their benefits, if substantial in nature. I personally believe it's the power of this industry that there is no federal regulation outside of ERISA. I believe this is intentional and allows insurance companies more control over their insureds and opens the doors to harassment and intimidation of large value claims in order not to pay them. In fact, in my opinion, their goal is to pay the least amount out regardless of the validity of the claim. Most states have offices called insurance commissioners or insurance bureaus that license insurance companies and monitor their actions in each of their states. This is where many injured people file complaints against insurance companies, but to no avail. The only thing that this does, in my opinion, is to notify the insurance company who is complaining about them, and it also can let other people who are looking for insurance companies find out which ones not to go with. I have known a few remedies coming from these complaints, and from my point of view, this is due to the power and control insurance companies have, something that Congress should have legislated better many years ago. It's almost as insurance companies are just too big to control because they have their hands in so many economic sectors. Which brings me back to the harassment and intimidation of the insured, in particularly large claims. They have the ability to stall these claims for years. Some have gone out, believe it or not, to over 10 years, which they know will cause a great deal of suffering to the injured. They have also had few repercussions for their behavior against the injured, and they have no interest in reducing it, from my perspective. The states have regulatory power over insurance companies, but one rarely sees them using this power. In Washington State, Deborah Sheen, a past commissioner, was seen as a person who used this power to help the injured be treated fair and just by insurance companies. However, not all insurance commissioners will stand up to these large and powerful organizations. When they do not stand up, their insureds suffer tremendously, usually financially. If you are wanting to know how many complaints have been lodged against specific insurance companies, you can find it at the insurance commissioner's office in your state. In this way, you can take certain insurance, you can make sure that certain insurance companies are, can be taken off your list to be possible prospects. For self-insured employers, a complaint can be filed with the Department of Labor. If you file a complaint with them, I'd like to hear your comments on your experiences. I was not able to find much regarding the results. If you need to file a complaint, they are on the web, and also my Facebook page has a link. These companies tend to be financially sound. I mean, they could not get away with this behavior otherwise, in my opinion. I say sound enough to make considerable profits, which we can all see by their bottom line. The real question to ask is whether or not they are not only able but willing to pay their insurer's claim. What actions and behaviors do they perform on the insurers? For example, harassment and intimidation tactics. And what impact is it having on the injured? How much money are they placing on their balance sheet at the pain and suffering expense of their insurers, whom they know are injured, but act in bad faith in order not to relinquish those benefits? From my perspective, this is the question the insurance commissioner should be asking, and legislation protections Congress should be putting in place. Why would anyone put together banking and insurance? These are huge industries by themselves. I personally believe it's because of their levels of power and control. I think we've seen what can happen when they receive too much leeway. And in my opinion, this is why disability harassment and intimidation can go on as far as it does, for as long as it has and does. We need to change this, and the only way this will happen is when your voice and pain is heard. So being silent is just not an option for anyone going through this intimidation at the hands of insurance companies or employers. It'll only get worse, and more injured people and their families will go without because of their behavior. The banking industry caused the current recession by their behavior. From my point of view, the insurance companies are allowing the injured to lose compensation rather than these industries responsible for their actions. The disabled, along with the middle class, has taken the fall for their behavior. Occupy Wall Street was created out of this controversy because what is going on is unfair. Those who should bear the burden are those who created it. Isn't that right? So don't be silent in your pain. You paid your premiums, and now that you need your benefits, you should be able to get them. If you're not receiving your benefits, just harassment and intimidation, make sure you file a complaint against them with your state insurance bureau or commissioner or the Department of Labor. It may not help much, but it helps others to stay away from these companies. Hopefully in the future, other options will come available. The Employee Retirement Income Security Act, that's ERISA, in my opinion, fosters too much leeway for the insured employer to get out of paying the employee's benefits. ERISA reform should be one of the first items on Congress' agenda to change. I'm not sure how Congress sleeps at night knowing the vast number of injured and sick people who do not have the energy, finances, or knowledge to fight against these employers for their benefits. And this legislation makes it more difficult for employees to protect themselves. In my opinion, this legislation gives employers a pass for harassment and intimidation of their employees. It is not fair to make the injured suffer for employer profits. I think our time is actually running close today. It seems like I have more and more to say every week now. There's a link of the Minnesota State Department Insurance on the Facebook link or on Facebook, the Estrus Blog Tips, that is really important to read because it shares just exactly how self-insured employers' programs work, the things that they don't want you to know, and a little bit more on how you can protect yourself and about them. So if you get a chance to go take a look at that, again, it's www.facebook.com/estra.blogtips. It'll really make a difference in your knowledge about what's going on with them. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to take your calls. Let's talk about you. Our lines are open. Call 718-766-4385 right now. Pick up that phone. Dial that number, 718-766-4385. Let's talk about you. It's important. Wanting to order the book after the radio show? You'll find Car Accident, Personal Injury, Wisdom, Knowledge, and Support online at Amazon Kindle, Barnes & Noble Nooks, and eBay. Now back to Estra's radio show. Thanks for staying with us. Our tweet of the week comes from @EstrasBlogTips on Twitter. Quote, when is harassment outright aggression? When they cross the line by attempts to control your existence, end quote. And I think that those who experience disability harassment and intimidation see this a lot. It starts off small and it progresses to trying to control more and more of your life. So just make sure that you realize that you are the one who controls your own ship, your ship. You are the captain of your ship. Therefore, you live your life how you need to live it, and you don't give them the upper hand regardless of what they do or they do not do. And our actual blog article feature for this week is, it goes along with our topic of the day, disability counter surveillance. Why did harassment by insurance companies? And it reads as follows. Why the harassment by insurance companies? And which companies have the highest rates of harassment and intimidations of their insurers? Will this information be available to share? I am on a journey to find out. Upon searching information to answer these questions, it was not easy to find. Information that helped to form my opinion are shown at the end of this page via links for viewing. The list was getting too big, so it's not complete. If you find additional information, please feel free to send me those comments and or links. Disability information seems to be held closely to the chest, so to speak. In my opinion, it's the bottom line for the insurance carriers, how the moral or social cost was factored into their decision is anyone's guess. In commercials, they say they are there when you need them. But are they there for the disabled? Are they there when the claims exceed more than a targeted money range? I'm just not sure. I saw insurance ads on most web links that were insurers, where insurers were voicing concerns regarding their treatment. Is this damage control? With so many of the disabled making the same complaints regarding insurance companies? One would think legislation would be introduced on behalf of the disabled. I was unable to locate Congress legislation being brought forth to help. Do the disabled need to raise up by using their votes to bring this issue to their attention? Many family members and the disabled bear the burden for this unfair treatment. Many injured individuals who have long-term disability insurance policies did not find them sufficient when help was needed and this unforeseen event took place. Do insurance companies harass just because they are in a position of power? Are they taking their fiduciary position for your money held in trust too far? Hearing insurance companies' answers to these questions could shed more light on their stance. Many times, their standard statement is that they need to investigate the claim. However, time and time again, these companies have the documentation to confirm a claim, but instead of satisfying a claim, they continue to harass and intimidate the insured. How often are insurance companies acting in bad faith with insureds? They have unlimited money at their disposal to not only harass, but to defend their positions in court. Court is expensive and therefore their best defense against those with minimal resources. Is the money we give in premiums being used against us? Perhaps an evaluation is needed to ascertain which companies treat their disabled with respect, integrity, and pay premiums to those organizations. Many individuals who have awful experiences with insurance companies are willing to share their stories, thus to help others who are going through it. The injustice of this situation creates the desire to step out and discuss this matter. There are still too many unanswered questions regarding the treatment of the disabled claim. This is one conversation that will continue into the future until the answers are available and the treatment is fair. I'd like to hear your comments, so send them to estrasblog@gmail.com about this article. And you can find more blog commentaries at www.estra.blogspot.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wanting to order the book after the radio show? You'll find Car Accident, Personal Injury, Wisdom, Knowledge, and Support online at Amazon Kindle, Barnes & Noble Nooks, and eBay. that's it for our show today. Boy, did that time go fast. We've enjoyed you being here with us. Meet you back here next Saturday so we can continue our conversation. Our next week's topic will be you and music. You don't want to miss this one. Music can soothe more than just the savage beast. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. talking about you with Estra on Block Talk Radio. Come talk. Come listen. Where you can just be yourself. That's it for our show today. Boy, did that time go fast. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed the Estra Radio Show to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is in no way liable for misuse of material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168, or email sunlight.publishing@gmail.com. Thank you.